What we did there was we took six VA clinicians, six DOD clinicians, and we put them in a room together and we said, blank piece of paper, tell us what a good GUI looks like. And you know something? Nobody asked them before, right? There was one criteria that qualified anybody that was in that room. I wasn't allowed to have heard of them before. So anybody who came up to me and said, oh, I got to be a part of this, or I'm a health informaticist, or you know me and you know I'm going to design a good GUI, I said, no. No, I want people who normally wouldn't participate in the process to sit down in this very user-centric way, this user-centric exercise with a trained facilitator, a guy who's actually designed literally hundreds of user interfaces in the past. And we drew it out on a whiteboard. And we have now demonstrated to the secretary a prototype implementation, live implementation, all the consents, all the privacy, all the security, it was all there. And here we are doing this remote presentation where the implementation team is pointing at different fields inside of the user interface, the DICOM compliant radiological images, the patient information, the laboratories and medicines that they're taking. All these things now are presented in a much more intuitive, I would say, conventional Google-like modern architecture.
The idea here then is this is a demonstration phase. You have a design. How far away are we talking about from implementation, or is this one step in a very long process?
Both things are true. Certainly one step in a very long process, but the secretary believes that belief follows behavior. And this is a problem that's been admired now for more than a decade, right? I think people have been talking about combining these electronic health records, these electronic platforms, enterprise platforms for a very long time. And honestly, frankly, not much has happened. And what has happened is the proprietary connections that are not standards-based, they're not modular, they're not openly architected. So from my perspective, they're all disqualified, right? We're going to use them and we're going to rely on them going forward, but now we're really hitting an inflection here. The interface that I've just described to you, the enterprise applications that we aren't going to talk about today, but we could, and the data centers, all these things now are moving forward. We've got implementation plans, we've got budget, we've got teams, we've got test protocols. All these things now are getting put into place. The user interface obviously is the easiest one. It's the first one, and it'll be delivered to a joint clinical facility on July 1st. So in just a few weeks, we're going to go live at that facility.
Obviously, that facility then will test it, work out the bugs, and then if all goes well, and once you deal with any issues, it can be spread out to other facilities.
You got it exactly right. So we're going to deploy it not even in the whole facility. We're going to select a few clinics inside of the facility. We've already got doctors signed up to use it. As I said, we already have the implementation ready to go. We're debugging. We're making it a little bit stronger, a little bit more robust. What we're hoping is that this will be an example of agile development, PMS-like implementations, robust testing, automated testing, and showing the user very, very quickly what it is that they've asked for. Is it, do you like it like this? Do you want it green? Do you want it red? Should the name be in the bottom? Should the name be in the top? What kind of fonts do you like? All the things that we're used to now in almost every other application except for health records. Now we're going to start seeing it in health records in this joint common platform at this facility, this joint VA DOD facility in Hawaii.
And to be clear, when we talk about a GUI interface, obviously that's the front end. You open up your screen and there it is. And that just includes, the basic name, address, all the basic information that you and I would have in a paper folder.
It's actually much more than that. This is the full-on electronic health record. Now, what you've just described, you know, this sort of constrained view, we have one of those. We call it the blue button, which is a personal health record for which we also have user interfaces, very, very primitive, very simple, but we have literally hundreds of thousands of users of that capability now. That's a separate thing. This is an altogether new initiative, runs in parallel, related. All these things are related, of course, but no, this is the full-on medical record. Everything that a clinician would see today in Vista or in Alta is going to be available to them in the joint common platform.
The other thing that you brought up, you talked about data centers a little bit. There was a decision seems to be made that VA and DOD will keep this data, the electronic health records in DISA data centers. Talk to me about that decision.
We are in the planning phase right now. Not ready to talk about this publicly, except to say that we are really serious. The instruction was yes, and it's our job now to figure out how to make it yes. And we're just, I would say, going through this in a very structured, very methodical way. What do you mean when you say SLA? What do you mean when you say volume? What do you mean when you say performance levels? How do we compare this in an apples and apples comparison in price, in volume, in late? And see all these, you know, technical things, and we're just grinding through that right now. But I'd be reluctant to put a date on it, but I'd be happy to say soon.
You talked about the interface. You talked about data centers. What are you guys going to work on next in a joint way?
Well, that middle stuff is hard, man. So the good news is that we've actually done a quantitative analysis. So we've gone through and we've counted the applications that we're using between Vista and Alta, between VA and DoD. We've gone through and we've measured the data fields, the data classes, and unsurprisingly to us, something like 85% of the applications are exactly the same. You know, a pharmacy app for them is a pharmacy app for us. A radiological app for them is the same for us. Scheduling, you know, all the administrative back-end stuff, it's almost identical. So rather than come up with this customized way of doing things, rather than say, oh, well, you know, this one little small difference is going to be the tail that wags this $100 or $200 million dog, the $200 million dogs that, for example, don't deliver very well, we're going to look at the corpus of things that we can do in common, that we do exactly the same or almost exactly the same, and instead of making them custom, we're going to make them configurable. And the same is true on the data. It's 90% of the data is exactly the same. So when you're starting with this enormous commonality, when this enormous overlap in the Venn sense of what they do and what we do, I'm actually very, very optimistic. But now coming up with the business process reengineering structures, that's tough stuff. So we've got the culture right, got the technology on its way here, but that middle piece, that piece that talks about changing the business process, is really the focus of our attention. That's going to keep me pretty busy for many months.